This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch the Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Welcome to La Liga Weekly, where Vinny's double took the title race into the Clásico. Great work, Vinny. Where better to be forced to admit your team is considerably worse than your deadly rivals who were effectively broke a couple of years ago. I mean, who would have thought that Real Madrid would put in a disjointed performance and be bailed out by some individual brilliance? And Mbappe might be back at the camp now, creating the unsolvable puzzle of how to get two world-class forwards to play together effectively. Impossible to solve. Diego Simeone rested everyone ahead of Atleti's trip to Arsenal and surely regretted it when he saw how bad Valencia actually are. Marcelino is leaving Villarreal, annoyed by how the club is run. Mate, it's Villarreal. Surely every other football club is more annoying than that one, such as all of the other clubs that you managed and then got really annoyed about. Done some analysis of the crazy relegation battle and both Girona and Espanyol are going down. Now, when I say analysis, it was reasonably adjacent to picking names out of a hat, but it's as good a way as any other. After all, which of us said that 37-year-old Alexis Sanchez would be the hero of the day? And congratulations to Barca's women for reaching another Champions League final. We are currently deciding whether to watch 5 minutes of highlights and declare ourselves to be world-leading experts. Well done. But we're not going to tell you. We don't watch enough. So
I must say, on the radio or watching the printer on the TV at the bottom of the telly, where results come up now, and I'm thinking, what? Oh, and then realising that the goal scorer is a woman rather than a man, and thinking, I thought that was Man City, but I think because I'm not on top of fixtures in around Europe in Champions Leagues, Champions League, of course, but fixtures in other leagues in Europe and fixtures in England. And you look at it and sometimes you go, what? Oh, God, West Ham are losing. And then you see the goal scorers for the other team. Oh.
I sometimes sit down and watch women's football and then about 5 minutes in, I'm thinking, oh, I know everything now. And then I think, no, you don't. Shut up. Honestly, you can't just dip in and be an expert.
It's just so much football on television, isn't it? It can get confusing. The lines can get blurred, and the lines are really blurred at the moment in La Liga.
Yes. So Terry has been out to Madrid again, watching football, watching Real Madrid, watching Barcelona, and there was a good 50-odd minutes where we're thinking, well, this is it, this could be done. It could be a whole week of deciding whether Real Madrid are going to do a guard of honour at the. For the Clásico and all of that. So it takes it to the Clásico weekend. It's almost perfect for Barcelona, isn't it? It'd be perfect for Barca if they could hammer Real Madrid in this game. Last thing, obviously, Madrid want. They've still got a load of good players. But what a way to sort of almost cap off the season it would be for Barcelona if they play really well and beat Real Madrid in the Clásico.
Yeah, it was a difficult one for Real Madrid. I mean, it's Barcelona are going to win the league, whether it comes in the Clásico or not. Remains to be seen. It nearly came at the weekend. Barcelona have won 10 on the trot. They haven't been particularly brilliant of late, but the last three games in particular, they haven't been great, but 1-3. And they've been really difficult fixtures. Getafe away, Osasuna away. They weren't great against Celta at home, but just about got the job done. So that's possibly one of the biggest differences this season, that Barcelona do have a framework. Barcelona don't always have to be at their brilliant best to win games. And when you look at Barcelona, I do look at Barcelona and say, I know he's playing there, he's playing there, he's playing in that position, he's the number 10. When you watch Real Madrid, the other night, I didn't give up because it's my job, but I looked at the starting 11, the back four was in place. From then, the rest of it, the midfield and the attacking players, you can't pin them down. 1 minute Valverde's left back, next minute he's right wing, next minute he's central midfield. You've got Bellingham who's deep. Tchouaméni is the other one. I think he's the only one that, and to the two centre backs and the full backs, you could say he's playing holding midfield. And I think he's been playing well lately in that position, but at times too deep. And it's, but that's, I think that's been the biggest difference between the two this season. That's self-explanatory, really. I mean, we're looking at a Barcelona team that under Hansi Flick has changed from their traditional 4-3-3. You know, the Busquets, Xavi, Iniesta midfield. It's now changed to, it can be a holding midfielder and two number two players playing ahead of him. It can be a double pivot in midfield with one number 10. So it's, but you still see when Barcelona line up, and there are occasions when you're thinking, oh, where's he going to play in this one? But it's after 5 minutes, you know. But with Real Madrid, you get the team and you think, well, the other week in this particular game, you're looking at it and thinking, well, who's going to be up front? Now, Brahim Diaz, he hasn't scored a goal this season, Brahim Diaz. And he's been playing a lot lately.
Yeah.
And he's a good little player and he does contribute, he works hard, but he doesn't carry a goal-scoring threat. With no Mbappe, that was a problem. But
Did he really play up front? I'm going to look at where he actually... Let's have a look at his heat map. He didn't play up front, really.
No.
I'll show you. There it is. So that's the left side. He played left on the left, where everybody else plays.
Yeah, Vinicius stayed really wide on the left.
Yeah.
Jude Bellingham, I thought it might have been a case. When I see the lineup, I'm thinking Jude Bellingham might be that... he might be playing up front. He might be playing at the top of a diamond. I couldn't see... There's no evidence of what the midfield was.
Well, that's Jude's. It's literally all over the pitch, isn't it?
Yeah. And Fede Valverde was the same. As I say, Tchouaméni was the only one that appeared you could pin him down and say that's where he's playing. So, I mean, it was the night where Real Madrid could have lost it. My point before the kickoff was they've got to do it. They've got to be motivated. What motivates them? They want to finish, first of all, they've got pride. They want to finish the season without, you know, the slump getting even worse. It's going to be 2 years without a trophy. So they've got that. They have to play for, you know, with pride. They had to beat Espanyol to avoid doing the guard runner against Barcelona. And then they've got to beat Barcelona and avoid being on the premises or being anywhere around the place when Barcelona do wrap up the title. So that's the motivation for Real Madrid. They got the first part done. It's not much of, you know, an achievement to deny Barcelona winning the title until week 37, 36, but it's something. At least, you know, Real Madrid will think we won the Espanyol game. We can now go to the Clásico, win that, and then, you know, that's the only thing we can do. So it's a disappointment that the Clásico isn't going to be a decider. When I saw it was at the beginning of the season, when I saw it was like three or four games before the end of the season, I'm thinking, you know, similar to last year. Last year was pretty much the decider, wasn't it? But it's not going to be the case. So
I don't know, because it shouldn't be a decider 4 games out, should it?
No.
In an ideal world, it is actually the decider, probably. Well, you know, if a draw or win.
Decider, but... I mean, it could have gone either way. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. A pivotal moment a few weeks out, I get, but you sort of want it to come down to the last day, don't you? But Real Madrid, I mean, to be fair, Barca could get to 100 points still.
Yeah.
So it's not just Real Madrid's shortcomings. It is Barca's excellence.
Yeah.
And like you say, it's not necessarily excellence in the last few weeks. It's effectiveness.
Yeah. And also, I mean, you have to compare the two teams as well. I was thinking about it over the weekend. And Real Madrid last season, they spent, 60 on House and 50 on Carreras. They paid money for Trent Alexander-Arnold when they didn't need to. Then you look at what Barcelona spent, and it's like 25 million on a goalkeeper. And at the time, you're thinking, do they really need him? Ter Stegen's going to be back? What a purchase that was, Joan Garcia. And 2 million on Rooney Badaji. That's it. That's the spend. And the season before, we were criticising, and there probably is still criticism, when they blew 60 million on Dani Olmo. When I say they blew all the budget went on Dani Olmo, and we all said, "Is he the player they need?" And probably, and he hasn't been bad. He's been good. He is a very good player. But the emergence of Fermín López probably suggests they probably didn't need to have spent that 60 million on him. So when you consider Barcelona have been scrimping and scraving and bringing in Marcus Rashford and Cancelo on loan. And then Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid to a degree, spending the money as well. It just highlights the achievement of Hansi Flick to win two titles on the trot, change the style of play, bring his own DNA into the club, do it with restrictions regarding I'm sure he wished he had another centre back and maybe, you know, another centre forward that could have been an obvious one to cover for Lewandowski or to share the duty with Lewandowski, other than making Ferran Torres into a striker as opposed to the wide player that he was a couple of years previously. So it's a hell of an achievement from Barcelona.
Yeah, we got some details from one of our Patreons, Darren, about the details of their summer spending. They're not out of the woods yet. There are still restrictions on them. And they're moving back. They're moving back out of the camp now at some point in the future as well. It's like, hey, because they're at the point at which they need to put the roof on. So there, it looks. So he's talking about a new contract, Hansi Flick, and we don't know how much they've got to spend. Again, I see them linked with Alvarez. I don't know. I don't know. You never know what's people making stuff up. What's people in the, you know, feeding agents, feeding stuff is, can you see that? And if it is the case, that would seem to be most of the budget that's available is going to have to go on one player.
Yeah. And I guess they then have to make decisions on players that they sell. I presume that would be the case just to buy Alvarez. They're not suddenly going to find 100 million euros plus. Yeah. Also, Atletico Madrid, you're going to raise the price because you don't want to sell to a direct rival. It's different if it was a Premier League club. And the player said, you know what, I fancy going there, going to another league. That might be easier for Atletico to take. But if it's to Barcelona, they're going to bump up some more money. And they paid about 90 for him. So I'd be surprised if that happens, just purely because of the finances and because it's a direct rival.
Yeah.
That Atleti, you know, if they know Barcelona's situation, Atleti don't appear as if they desperately need the money. They've got other players they could possibly sell as well that they don't have in their starting lineup. So I think they'd be reluctant for that deal. I'd be really surprised if that deal happened, I have to be honest, just because of summer money and the fact it's one Spanish club to another.
Yeah. Okay. Just the details on Osasuna 1, Barcelona 2, Lewandowski showing us what he's still got. He got the first one, then Ferran Torres the second, Raul Garcia at the end. Lewandowski, still some talk that he might stay. The talk of Italy. Obviously, the Saudi route is not particularly open at the moment. MLS is there. You think he's still got a European contract in him, a big European club?
I think that those choices, I think the choice is Europe, but the MLS at the moment. And I mean, this is a classic Lewandowski goal, wasn't it? It was the power he generates, it ends up in the top corner because the keeper gets a hand to it, but the power he generates from it, and it just goes to show I still think there's a year, another season left in him in European football. I don't think it's at Barcelona, if I'm being honest. I think, as we've seen, as the season has progressed, if Barcelona have other options, then I think they will take that. It could be one of those where it works out really well. Milan, they're talking, aren't they? Juventus, they're talking. They are. In the recent years, Milan in particular do take on a veteran or two and hope they can squeeze that last drop out of the players. So he might get a two-year deal at Milan. And so that would suit him. Barcelona get him off the wage bill, which is a big part of the wage bill. And so it might be a move, and then it allows them to bring someone else in. But I think there has been an offer made by Barcelona, but he's turned it down, and he's allegedly insulted with the offer. But he's not chasing any more money, I wouldn't have thought. If he was that enthusiastic about staying, I mean, he's still going to get paid millions and millions of euros, but not the amount he's currently getting paid, which is obvious that that's going to happen. But he might get that somewhere else.
Yeah. So then Espanyol 0, Real Madrid 2. Vinny got both goals. I'm seeing more speculation coming to your conclusion about Mourinho when you sort of start thinking who could get this job, and you go, right, not him. No, I can't see that working. and you're sort of there. So is it Mourinho then?
And Arbeloa came out in a press conference before the game, the day before, and said all the things that he believes that Real Madrid need. And they were everything that everybody else is saying. They need a strong, we need a framework. You can't win trophies with individual players, blah, blah, blah. And you're thinking, Yeah, we all know that, but it's been your job since January, and you haven't done it. You haven't, he hasn't made a dent in anything in terms of, and he's lost more games in less games than Xabi Alonso. It's self-inflicted what they did this year, and the problems are there. They're evident, and there's you know, Kylian Mbappe allegedly has been disruptive in terms of he's out injured. Then he's gone away for a mini break to Rome. And his private jet was late back at the weekend. He missed the kickoff and all stuff like that. He got to the game late.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy hitting back and forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the chase for the cup on ESPN and TNT starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Those little things that you need a Jose Mourinho. And you know, and I've said it before on the podcast, Real Madrid players, yes, they're big hitters, they're superstars. But to me, they look a decent group. I know Vinny's got his. The people complain about Vinicius and people complain about Mbappe. They're the two obvious ones. They're the Ronaldo, they're the Messi. And you know, people complain about Messi and Ronaldo. Their team spirit, their work ethic, and this, but they get the goals, they get the goals. Vinicius and Mbappe do. It needs the right manager to get them to work properly within a framework, build a team around them. They are what they are. You're not going to change them. So you've either got to say, right, one's got to go, one's got to stay, or you get them to buckle down. But I think in general, and I look at that squad, I don't see too many disruptive players. And they're going to be sick to death of Barcelona winning two league titles on the trot. They're going to be sick to death of not being in the Champions League final and not winning that anymore. And so by the time whoever comes in has got a footing to work from. Well, if you don't listen, if you don't want to do it, we're going to go another season without winning a trophy. And Mbappe, you're going to be derided by the fact that since you've left PSG, they're winning everything. You come to Real Madrid, they were winning stuff, and now they're not. So there has to be that, the egos have to be put to the side. And who is that manager to do that? It could be toxic if it's Jose.
Egos aside, let's get Jose
But
Mourinho
it needs an authoritative man, doesn't it? It doesn't need Arbeloa. As I said, that huddle that they had at the second, beginning of the second half suggested to me that Valverde and Bellingham, you normally see the huddle before kickoff. They did it at the start of the second half. It was like they come out the changing room. It looked to me that they weren't particularly impressed with what was said at half time. Felipe Valverde called them all in, and Jude Bellingham was talking as well. It looked to me like they were setting up themselves for the second half. They played better. They won. They got two goals and won 2-0. Arbeloa knows it's going to be history for him now. What his position will be at the club, I don't know. Can he go back to being the B team manager? Yeah, I probably could, to be honest, if that position is still available. It's not like he's done the B team for 6 years, 7 years, and then got the chance in the first team. And it's a bit awkward to go back. They should have said he was caretaker.
Not allowed, are they? You're only allowed a caretaker for like 2 weeks or something, aren't you? So.
Yeah, and then we had that non-disclosure of how long the contract was, and
Yeah.
so we kind of all assumed he was caretaker, interim manager contract. They could have said he's got it to the end of the season. That's it, but they didn't. So it was so when he got the job, it was oh no, he's the full-time manager. We had to accept that he was the new manager of Real Madrid, even though you're thinking surely he can't be.
Yeah.
Could he go back to being the B team manager? Possibly. Could it be one of Jose's assistants? Possibly. I don't think it's too much of a climb down for Arbeloa to say, I can't do that. I've been the manager for 6 months. That's possible. But they shouldn't, when I say they shouldn't have sacked Xabi Alonso, it was out of control when he left already. And he wasn't putting his imprint on it.
Yeah,
So,
but honestly,
relatively successful manager didn't have the authority to do what he really wanted to do.
but that's
And that
because,
disappointed me.
yeah, that Florentino Perez didn't give him that. Honestly, when they were moaning, if as we're told, Mbappe said this and Vinny said that, if Florentino Perez had said, "Shut up and get on with it," you didn't win a trophy last season under Carlo Ancelotti,
Exactly.
it would have been the end of the matter.
Exactly. The histrionics when Vinicius got substituted in games was throwing a hissy fit. That undermined Xabi Alonso. That's when it should have been dealt with. And the last job was Mbappe pulling everyone away from the Guard of Honor when they lost to Barcelona in the Super Cup. That stage, it almost looked like Xabi Alonso wanted to leave. And there was no way he could rescue the situation.
You know who they should appoint? They should appoint Marcelino as the Real Madrid manager, Terry. There we are. They won't, obviously. He gets annoyed by everybody. So he's left Villarreal. Well, he is leaving Villarreal. Leave the 5-1 win over Levante, third in the league. Unquestionably done a good job. We were both irritated by their Champions League
Everyone was.
surrender. Yeah.
Everybody was.
Yeah. So that was really disappointing. He's obviously carried a bit of a grudge about how much money they're going to spend. When you work out what they've spent versus what they've recouped for all they've done it pretty
About the
well.
same.
Yeah,
Yeah.
so they've actually, done it okay. And you look around at how badly run other clubs are, and then you see the size of Villarreal, and you think, really? You can't work with them. That's an impossible situation at Villarreal.
It took some delving into why I did hear the rumor a couple of weeks ago, and I've heard the rumor that Iñigo Perez is lined up, which it would it that yeah it, I can it's a good choice, I think. No, I think it is a good choice if Villarreal go for Iñigo Perez. And I mean, what a contrast for him. Did you see the story last week about the Rayo supporters camping out for 2 or 3 nights outside the stadium to buy a ticket for the second leg at Strasbourg because they can't buy a ticket online in this day and age? So that would be a fantastic move for him. It'd be a good move for Villarreal. But I was looking into it, thinking, why is he leaving? It wasn't clear at first. But as it's come to light, there is friction between him and the way the club is run. And they've had a weird old season, Villarreal. I mean, we're probably guilty of it. We've ignored them. They've just beaten the teams they should. They've lost to the teams that you probably imagine they would. Didn't do very well in Europe. And every week you go, oh yeah, Villarreal won again. 5-1 this week against Levante. Good players, scored good goals. They were helped by Levante's poor defending in this particular match. And you suddenly go, oh yeah, and they're 5 points above Atletico Madrid. Oh, they're third. We've known for about, seems like 6 months that they're going to be in the top four in the Champions League. And we haven't really looked at their delved into their season in general terms, because we've all been hacked off that they were so pathetic in the Champions League. We've kind of, this is your punishment, Villarreal. You can be good. You can be really consistent. You're good to watch, but you blew it in the Champions League, so you're not going to win La Liga. We're just going to kind of put you to one side and give you a pat on the back at the end of the season. But when you look at it deeper, it's a fantastic achievement what he's done. And he took over when they were in relegation battle. He took over at time of crisis when he came in. His first season when he came back to the club, it was a crisis. And not for the first time in the last few years. Villarreal have suffered, and they've been down the bottom. They've had relegation, similar to what we've seen from Valencia and Sevilla this season. They've been relegated. And he came in to stop them getting relegated, did that, Champions League football, Champions League football again. And it's a shame, to be honest, that it is, because when things are, if it's not broken, don't fix it. That's Villarreal at the moment. They're not going to win the league. But and the next step is to be better in the Champions League.
So where does he go? Because I, you know, well,
I
he
can't
went.
work it out.
Say again, sorry.
I can't work that out. But it's better than Villarreal. Yeah.
Because
Barcelona and Real Madrid.
he's been other places and got annoyed and left.
Yeah.
He's done a brilliant job. Everywhere he stayed for more than 5 minutes, he's been really good.
Yeah.
So he's an excellent manager. I don't know what his English is like. Do you
No, I
know?
don't know. Not
No,
aware.
no,
No,
no.
I'm not aware. You'd hope that he would have been wise enough over the years to think, well, they could. Mind you, it doesn't stop. I mean, yeah, managers. I mean, Hansi Flick still does all his interviews in
In
English.
English, though, isn't it? That's the thing. So,
Yeah.
even if you want to manage in Germany, we watch Bayern Munich players talking to each other in English.
Yeah.
So it's that way around, isn't it? It's not just that, when you say does he speak English, it doesn't just mean do you want to come to the Premier League. It means Can you go? Because Xavi's English is perfect, isn't it? It's when and he must have developed that because he never played in England. He must have developed that when he was in Qatar or beforehand, and then in Qatar again, because he must be doing all of his business in English the whole time. So yeah,
But Marcelino, I'm not aware. I kind of look back at Pochettino when he came and spent years not speaking
Unai
English.
Emery barely speak English. Honestly, Roberto De Zerbi. Honestly, I watched a press conference of De Zerbi the other day, and I was. I've been watching this for ages. I've no idea what he's what anything that he's on about. So. But anyway, people
I'd have
manage.
loved that with some of my managers if they didn't speak English. And we probably said the same. He doesn't know what he's on. I don't know what he's on about. No one knows.
So Marcelino, but is he ju right? This is the question. He's had a number of jobs. Like I say, he's done a good job at many football clubs.
Yes.
Is he due? Is this him done, or is he gonna go the same level? Is he gonna go up a level? If he was young and fashionable and spoke brilliant English, then you know there are people get jobs
He'd be linked with
who
Man.
are a fraction of his ability as a manager.
He'd be linked with United, wouldn't
Yeah.
he? If there's other big jobs, so the Man United job over the last, he should be. He is that level. He could
Yeah.
manage at that level.
Chelsea, for example.
Exactly.
Chelsea appointed Liam Rosinha.
Who jokes about Real Madrid? Why
Yeah.
not Real Madrid? You joked. I mean, you said it in jest.
Yeah, he won't get it, will he?
No, but why? Knows Spanish football, knows the history of Real Madrid, knows what it's like. He's not daft. He's at a similar age to Ancelotti and others that have managed that in the past and dealt with it because they've got the experience and the know-how. Whereas someone like Xabi Alonso and Albeloa come in and it's like, oh, God, it's mind-blowing. It wouldn't be for him. So he is, but I agree with you. I don't think he would be considered by Florentino Perez for the Real Madrid job. I hope I'm wrong. I hope he is. If that's his choice is to leave Villarreal, they're finishing just behind Real Madrid with a fraction of the resources. He should be an obvious candidate for the Real Madrid job, but I haven't seen it.
He'd be
I haven't seen it.
derided by the media if he was the Real Madrid manager. They'd be like, oh, this bloke can't be. Well, why? Because he did a really good football manager anyway.
Exactly.
So yeah, a couple of belters in this game, weren't there, from Buchanan and Molero, and a good win. We'll get to
All those bloody
Levante.
new players that they bought. All those bloody since he's been there. Mkhitaryan with a couple, Molero with a goal, Buchanan, Nicolas Pepe, really good goals. What's he got to moan about? I mean, they sold players, but they're the players they've given him, and they're all good. I mean, he can't be complaining that oh, we only got 40 million for Tierno Barry, and he's gone off and blown, set the world alight in Everton, and I've replaced him with Mkhitaryan. Mkhitaryan is better than Tierno Barry, different players completely, but I don't see what his complaint is at VRL. I really don't. So it is baffling.
Let's go and do Valencia nil, Atletico two. So this brings us into the relegation battle as well, which we'll do in detail in a second. I mean, he totally, you look at the team, this one, he's been rotating the team through, and you sort of look at this and you think, oh, well, at least Llorente's playing. I think you realize, oh, it's not that Llorente. So it's some other Llorente. So it was, and then, but they won the game, goals by a 20-year-old Luque, an 18-year-old Llorente. So it's a remarkable win, or is it a remarkable? Valencia didn't have a shot on target.
Do you know what? Yeah, I don't know what's more impressive. First of all, it was 11 changes from the Arsenal game, so those 11 will come back in. Lionel Mertens was the most senior, Molina was the most senior. And every time that Molina play, and now well, Molina plays now, have you seen the shot that hits the bar?
The shot is extraordinary. I was going to ask you about that
Ridiculous.
separately. How far out is he? It must be
Well, he gets it in the
35.
centre circle, dribbles it 5 yards, 6 yards, knocks it out with his feet. And part of me is thinking now he should start against Arsenal.
And just to
Because,
shoot.
yeah, because, I mean, they're not going to get millions of chances, and he has that, and it means you move Marcos Llorente into midfield. But suddenly, it's registered with him that I can do this. I don't know what he's about 28 years old, and he's just found out he's got one of the hardest shots going, and accurate and powerful. And but It's I don't know what's more shocking, the fact that Atletico got the win, making 11 changes, so all those players have come back. If you remember, Lenormand came on as a sub against Arsenal in the first match. So I'm suggesting if he's not if he played in this, along with Molina, Almeida would play, but the rest of Obed Vargas, none of them are going to start. So we know the Atleti team if they're all fit. Julian Alvarez has got an issue. Soloff had an issue, which I didn't realise when I was critical. Why didn't they put Soloff on when Baena come on in the first leg? Soloff allegedly picked up a muscle problem, discomfort before the game in the warm-up. So I think it's going to be the same 11. And so is it a benefit? Don't know. But I don't know, it's more shocking the fact Valencia couldn't beat this team or the fact that Atleti, oh, actually, their young players should be good. We don't see many of them. We see them every now and then when there's a crisis at left back or in this position, that position, they come off the bench. But they should have good young players. And they were excellent. And they deserve to win. I mean, we joked about Valencia, the latest recipients in the relegation issues, to be blessed with a fixture against Atletico Madrid's reserves, because the other teams have played them recently and picked up 3 points that you thought, oh, I'm not going to win. They've got Atletico. Oh, it's the B team. But Valencia were awful in this match. And Atleti thoroughly deserved the win. And it actually was a real big boost to the club in general, because the reserves are playing, young kids are getting opportunities, young kids are coming off the bench, and they get the win. And it kind of fostered a togetherness there with Griezmann at the top end of his career and, Mikel, Kubo, Llorente, Ica, Luka. I'm having to look at the names because they don't just roll off the tongue just yet. And you've seen these young players play with Griezmann and players like that, because Griezmann came off the bench and was involved in the second goal. And it kind of fostered a great little spirit that won't harm their chances in the second leg against Arsenal at all. So it was a splendid win for Atletico Madrid.
So we've got six more games yet to have a look at. All of them relegation clashes in some ways, except I suppose you'd say Getafe nil Rayo Vallecano 2 is no longer the relegation battle,
No.
is it? I think we're saying now it's a European battle.
I've got, yes, yeah, I've got Rayo. Funny enough, Espanyol Manolo Gonzalez was asked before the game against Real Madrid, do you know if you win tonight, you'll be 2 points off Europe? And he looked shocked and he went, I hadn't thought about that. No, of course they hadn't. But I think with Rayo, that's the perfect example this week that Rayo, 1 week go from relegation threatened. And it was a possibility because they've got the second leg against Strasbourg. If they lose against Getafe, they would have been on 36 points, which would have put them would have been on 39 points, which puts them right in the thick of the action. But the win, and now you're looking in there, they're in the chasing pack for Europe.
Because we don't know what Europe is because of this whole extra European something
Champions League.
place, EPD or something. It's got extra place in the Champions League. So England's got one. It's almost neck and neck between Spain and Germany for the second, so the fifth Champions League place. And of course, it knocks, pushes the whole European qualification down further. It's too complicated, really, to work out. There are two German clubs left in. There are two Spanish clubs left in. Spain has a tiny advantage, but the points that they accrue are worth ever so slightly more to Germany because they only had seven teams in Europe this season and Spain had eight. So you're only collecting points proportionately. We'll see what happens, but it does mean, because we were trying to figure out the last couple of days of fixtures of the season, weren't we? And it's just too complicated, basically. So, and also, they don't seem that bothered about travelling fans, so we don't know.
And also, we've got Real Sociedad already in it. They haven't won the Copa del Rey. So that's not complicated it, it's simplified it, but it's made it still complicated when you look at from Celta, from Betis, fifth, and possibly hope still that they could be a Champions League spot, which they're probably going to finish fifth, 53 points, six above Celta. Then Getafe, Athletic, Real Sociedad, already qualified, Osasuna and Rayo, all, with the amount of games to go, they've still got 4 games to go. Any of them can finish in the top 7 or 8.
So we don't know. We don't know is the answer. We know the bottom three will go down. That's the only thing we know. Alaves, for example, at one point were looking pretty comfortable, weren't they?
Yeah.
I put that game on. I looked at the live table, and I was thinking, "Oh, all right, that's a good bit." But then they lose the game. Other teams around them, of course, get results, and then they're in trouble. So Alaves 2, Athletic 4. I do want to ask you about Nico Williams. A flash of how exceptional he can be. Spain obviously want him fully firing for the World Cup. I mean, it could be brilliant timing if he's fit now and going to come into form.
That was the easy conclusion to take from that game, wasn't it? He was the match winner, back to his best. We haven't seen that all season because of his injury issues. It's been a weird season for him. One minute he's there, next minute he's not. He's there for two or three games, and then he's missing for two or three games. Because of that, his form has suffered. And Athletic, and I mean, Sanchez scores in this game, and you kind of almost forgotten about him this season as well. So two players of the utmost in terms of quality were back involved in scoring goals in this one. So that was a big plus for Athletic Club. It's probably, yeah, they still have a chance of European football again next season. But Alaves, I mean, it's terrible defending. And as I say, the kind of. When the pressure's on now, Levante were poor at defending, Elche were poor at defending, Alaves made defensive mistakes. You can't afford to do that. And Alaves were 2-1 up. And Tenaglia gets the second goal, puts them 2-1 up. They're at home. They're a decent team at home, passionate fan base. But Athletic won it comfortably in the end, which was a surprise, to be honest.
Right. What else? So when I said I'd done some analysis, what I did was looked at the last four games because we've got four games left, and I projected it forward. So if you've got the same number of points you've got in the last four games, got them in the next four games, Girona would go down on that basis because they are the team in collapsing form. Obviously, Oviedo will go, and then after that, we're into a mini league. So I'd say there's a very high chance that we're going to be. You have to do your sums before the last day and get your mini league possibilities out. Because just in case, if you're new to this, it's not goal difference in Spain, it's head-to-head results. But if there are multiple teams on the same, say, 40 points, by this calculation that I did, there were three teams on 40 points, then you do a head-to-head between
Mini table.
a mini table, which could end up, honestly, it could end up with like five teams numbers of points. And then you think, well, hang on, how many possibilities is that then? And on this, Espanyol and Alaves, I think I had going down. No, that's not right. No, Girona and Espanyol. It was Espanyol. On
Espanol.
So,
Story, isn't it? Espanol.
yeah.
It's
They're not down yet. Let's not.
no, and Oviedo, credit to them. I'm not going to be patronising them in that they get beat at Betis 3-0. They were a better team in the first half. They were a better team until Betis opened the scoring, and they were good after that. It's come too late. I mean, the second half of the season, and as for Oviedo, they've been pretty decent, but. The fact that we're in week 34 and they're still not down, they deserve some credit for that. And they're still fighting, they're still pushing. They're not going to survive. They 9 points from safety, so it's not going to happen. Levante, disappointing result the weekend away from Villarreal, but is that one of the games they earmarked for a week might win this? Probably not. So it'd be interesting to see their running. So they've still got a chance. They're 4 points adrift. Alaves slipped into the bottom three. They still feel they've got a chance. Espanyol, the one. Espanyol is the, well, I say the big story, along with Valencia and Sevilla. But Espanyol's, the narrative of Espanyol this season, the numbers are just astonishing. They won five games on the trot prior to coming now 17
Yeah,
without a win.
going into Christmas, wasn't it? Going into the
Yeah.
bank. Yeah.
They'd won five, and I remember us talking on the podcast going, I can't believe it was almost shocked that every week, Espanyol, I was predicting us, oh, they won't win this, they won, won't win this, they won. Five wins on the trot going into that, and now it's now 6 points from the last 51. I think, and you're looking at it and thinking, this is like it's been going on a while now, 2 points from the last seven games. So even that run is dreadful. Five defeats, two draws. 6 points from 17 games, 6 points from 51. And for the first time at the weekend, I thought, and I, they should change the manager. It looks like it's he's he's trying different things in every game and every week, and it's one up front, it's two up front, it's this. We're playing out the back, we're not playing out the back, and sometimes you can look at the body language of a manager on the bench, and it's out of his control now. And you're listening to interviews where he was upbeat, and he was, of course he was. His team were fifth in the league, and we talk about him finishing in Champions League spot. Now it looks like it's out of his control. And the way that they played at the weekend against Espanyol, against Real Madrid, was conducive to getting beat. I didn't see any way that they could win that game. It was only when a matter, in my opinion, when Real Madrid livened up, they would beat Espanyol. So they've got a tricky running as well.
Sevilla away, haven't they? So Sevilla beat Real Sociedad again. Real Sociedad more of the ball, but not a single shot on target in this game. And they brought on Alexis Sanchez, and he scored. He didn't do a lot else, but he scored.
Yeah, and fair play to the Sevilla fans. That, I mean, we've always said in the past that it can be quite toxic towards the end of a match if they're getting beat 2 or 3 nil and there's no hope of coming back. It can get toxic when the final whistle has gone, but they rallied, the fans rallied last night. And the club don't deserve it, if I'm being honest. The club and perhaps the players, but it's a relatively new manager. It was a sellout, the supporters got behind them. Kind of took Real Sociedad by surprise. Real Sociedad said a couple of weeks ago had an outside chance of a Champions League spot. Once that went, they've qualified for Europe. They've won the Copa del Rey. It says to me again that the cup final shouldn't be in the middle of the season, because this result of Real Sociedad is a result of playing the cup final in April.
Yeah.
It should be at the end of the season. So, if it wasn't, Real Sociedad would be at it now. They would be in the league, but their job's done. So it's hard to be critical of them.
So Sevilla got Atletico at the right time and Real Sociedad at the right time. So, that could be significant, couldn't it? I mean, you've got to win the game.
Yeah. I mean, Espanyol's running is Sevilla away. Yeah. So that's the next game. That's a massive game. I would say Sevilla are hot favourites for that one. Based on the performance, they find it hard to score goals. Then they've got Espanyol, got Athletic Club at home, Osasuna away, Real Sociedad at home.
Yeah, that might be a good game, that last one.
They might be down.
I think it's going last day, isn't it? I think when you just so many possibilities. Girona nil Mallorca 1 was the Friday night. That's three defeats in a row, 1 point from four at least, isn't it? For Girona. Yeah, I mean, we haven't really discussed them, because they were, when they beat Barcelona, they were mid-table, and you think, oh, late 30s, yeah, just about right. They've only got to pick up another win or two before the end of the season, and they haven't. And it's another one where another coach, contrary to Marcelino, who stuck around too long.
Yes.
I mean, it was too long ages ago. He's still there.
The Champions League, the season they finished in the Champions League was possibly the time for him to hooked up to another opportunity.
Yeah.
But he didn't. And yeah, I agree with you totally. And again, they're 38 points. They're really in trouble. And any time you go to this stage of the season when you suddenly go on a losing streak, it's a problem. I'm fascinated by this La Liga campaign.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like it to have been closer at the top, but the rest of the division, and in particular, we're talking about Rayo just creeping out of it, aren't we? Just recently, Hatafe were in the thick of it until January, and then signed some new players, and they're now challenging for Europe. But that it's been good that we've had a relegation battle, which we haven't had that much of one in recent.
I think we've always had one. It's only that one or two.
So
teams
one team has just have
ruined it a bit. But I think basically my interpretation of this is that the teams from like seven down, there's not a lot between them.
No.
So,
but it's this season is extraordinary in that it's half a division. And until recently, Rayo get out. But Valencia, Espanyol, Elche, Mallorca, Girona, Sevilla, Alaves, Levante, and Oviedo, bottom, all in trouble.
Yeah. And we've got, so Celta 3, Elche 1 is the other one that we should mention. Iago Aspas among the goal scorers yet again. So what's coming up now? We start again Friday, Levante, Osasuna. Got to Levante are in a must win kind of situation. Then we've got some Saturday, couple of 6 pointers. 6 pointers are back. So Elche, Alaves, followed by Sevilla, Espanyol. Enormous games for the teams concerned. Atletico against Celta Vigo, and then Real Sociedad against Betis is the Saturday night. Sunday, Mallorca Villarreal, Athletic against Valencia, Oviedo against Getafe, and then the Clásico. And then Monday night, Rayo Vallecano versus Girona. With all due respect to that, I think we should probably talk about the Clásico in the next podcast on next Monday instead of waiting a day
Well,
for
not only
that.
that, we've then got Monday and then Tuesday again.
Yeah, so it's straight round into another one, isn't it? So the Monday night is this match week, isn't it? And then it rolls into the Tuesday. So Rayo and Girona both in action again. They play Monday, Thursday, don't they? So, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's we're gonna know in this next week. We've got
We'll
the
know something.
weekend,
Yeah, we'll know it's
midweek
going to. Yeah.
weekend.
Yeah.
So
Well, yeah. Well, I think it'll go to the last day, the relegation. I think there's just too many teams involved for it not to, I think now. I think.
and it's that I'm going out to Madrid next Saturday morning. I've got a game on Saturday, two on Sunday, one of them including the Clásico, which obviously looking forward to all three. I've got a flight back. I've then got Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I've got a one-way ticket because I don't know, and no one knows when the week 37 fixtures are going to be because it's going to be interesting to see how long they leave it. Are they going to do it after the weekend's fixtures or after? Are they on Thursday night going to say, right, we can play this one on Saturday, those two on Sunday, or whatever, and split them up? It's going to be impossible to do, isn't it? With all so many issues still to be done.
Yeah,
Top
we.
four, Villarreal have qualified, guaranteed.
So the only one, I think Atletico play Villarreal last match round. Is that it seems to be the only one that could have nothing on it for either team.
And even the penultimate week 37, you're looking at it thinking, well, Villarreal guaranteed. They did that at the weekend, so I forgot to mention that they're guaranteed top four. That's them done. So they might be good opponents to play in the next two or three games. The manager's leaving. They've done their job. They're guaranteed top four. So when you look at the fixtures now and you think, oh, they've got Villarreal, that might be a good fixture for a relegation threatened.
And as I say, you don't know how many European places are available to La Liga until the semis are finished. Might know then, or it might be one of the German teams or one of the Spanish teams makes a final or something. So, yeah, it's almost everything almost
And then
everything
we
to
got
play for.
the other thing is World Cup is up. So if you're playing for Real Sociedad and you're playing for Villarreal, and there might be one or two other teams, and there'd be other teams around Europe, Real Madrid probably fall into that category. What the World Cup players, are they going to start looking to the Dorna player this one? Oh, got a
Yeah,
bit of
but
a
also you
bit
don't.
of a groin. I'll rest this one, miss week 37, miss week 38. I don't want to risk this injury I've had all. I'll tell you what happens. There'll be injuries they've had all season. I'm going to give this the time to rest. So it makes it difficult if Barcelona win the league next weekend, then suddenly Barcelona is a good fixture. Their World Cup players will be saying, you know that niggle I've had for like a couple of months?
And Mbappe's the classic for this, isn't it? He's obviously been carrying an injury, Mbappe, for weeks, months. So he should rest it. Whereas Bellingham's probably the opposite in that he had a long spell out. He probably needs the games. So
So
there we
it's
are.
going to be really difficult for us to predict. As we say, if you got, oh, we got Villarreal, but it might be a good game to have. Real Sociedad, good game to have. Real Madrid, Barcelona. You're looking down the list and thinking, during the season, you're thinking, oh, we've got Barcelona, second to last game of the season. If they've won the league, it might be a good game to have. We're going to learn
Right.
a lot in a short space of time. That three games in the week, midweek, weekend, Clásico involved in it. It's exciting period of the season, to be
Yeah. Well,
honest.
we'll know in 19 days' time, Terry. Well, that's all
The
there
only
is.
thing that the excitement leading up to the penultimate and the last
Well,
game.
what will happen? Obviously, teams will start dropping out of the fray. Out of but and but I still think honestly, my prediction would be come the last day, we're still looking at half a
Yeah,
dozen
because
teams.
there's nine still in it. They haven't been dropping out. We've had one in the last 3 or 4 weeks. Right. Right, the only team
Because
that.
none of them are consistent is the other thing, except
Exactly.
Espanyol,
Yeah.
consistently bad.
And Girona, I'm pretty cool. So, yeah, it's really exciting to.
Right. So there we are. We will leave it there. We will be back for Patreons to wrap up the European semi-finals, and we'll see whether Spanish football's finished. Because obviously, they lose to those two, they'll wrap it all up and not bother with the rest of the season. No, that works. Right. So we'll be back for the patrons, and then we'll see everybody else, and we'll know a little bit more next time we'll see you. And we'll certainly have had the Clásicos. UK and Ireland, it's on Premier Sports. Who negotiated that deal for Disney? I do not know. It's like, do Saturday nights. Unless there's a Clásico. Okay. Anyway, Premier Sports in the UK and Ireland, if you want to watch that. So we'll see you next week, and we'll chat about the Clásico. All right. Have a good week, everybody. Bye bye.